At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And today on the show, our guest is Haley Bush. Hey, Haley.
Hi, Haley.
Hi. Oh my gosh. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been loving what you're putting out lately, so I can't wait to talk all about the FaceTime stuff you're doing, because it just, I was saying, like, I can't figure it out. So anyway, but for the listeners who may not know who you are, can you give us a brief, like, rundown of who you are and how you got into photography?
Yeah. Okay, where to begin? So basically, I've been shooting, I want to say professionally, for a few years, like probably four.
Nice.
I actually got my start in the music world. So I kind of began just bringing my camera to like events and kind of festivals and capturing artists. And you know how it goes. I mean, you work for free, you work your way up, that whole thing. And then I kind of started, like, the last 2 years were like non-frickin' stop, just like go, 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 like
That's
festival
great.
Every weekend. And I mean, it was great for sure. And I'm so grateful for it, but it does hit a point where, I mean, for me at least, like, I was getting so run down and it just sucked the life out of me. And it's hard because it's like you're doing such cool shit. Like, it's hard to, like, put yourself in the position and be like, okay, is this really making me happy anymore? Or is this just kind of become like a routine where, like, this is what my life is supposed to be, you know? So I kind of took a step back from things, made a few life adjustments, and I realized that that's not what I want to be doing anymore. And I picked up film while doing it more religiously, kind of incorporating it more into my work. And now I'm totally segueing and doing like portraiture and couples and people and just like slowing it down. And I feel like when I do that now, I'm just like coming alive. Like, it feels so much more natural and it just feels really healthy because, I mean, you know how it goes, shooting events and concerts and all that. Like, you pick up unhealthy lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
You don't have any sleep.
Yeah.
You're like running on 1 hour of sleep trying to do all this stuff. It's crazy. So I feel really fortunate that I'm able to make a shift in kind of my career and that I've had the time to do so. I think, thank you, quarantine, for granting me that in like a twisted way. But
that's good.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing now, just slowing it down and kind of just going where it feels natural and where my heart leads me. So
that's the way to do it right there.
yeah
there's a lot of good things that can come out of the quarantine, you know, a lot of reset buttons being pushed and all that. So that's good that worked out for you. You just launched a new website too, right?
I did, yeah.
It's gorgeous,
that.
By the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was, I mean, you know how it goes, building a website from like the ground up. Yes. Just the compiling of the images, the re-editing the images, like the formatting the whole thing. It took a minute, but I'm so relieved that it's done. It feels really good. And yeah, I can't believe it's done. I feel like I'm having like withdrawal from like sitting in front of my computer all day. Like, I'm like, what do I do now? Yeah. Like, I don't have any, I don't need to open Adobe. Like, this is crazy. So.
Yeah. Did you learn that stuff? Did you self-teach yourself how to do like web design and stuff? Because that's something I wish I had the talent to do. But
yeah, same here.
Yeah, I did most of it on like Photoshop, I will say. And I just kind of like created things, then imported them in. But yeah, I did teach myself YouTube and all the things. So
Yeah.
God bless YouTube.
And what do you call it, Timothy? YouTube University?
Yeah.
That's perfect.
No, I mean, it's anything. Like, I forget, I had to fix something on my car the other day and I was just like down there frustrated. I'm not like a car person by any means, but I, you know, who wants to spend a couple $100 taking your car to the shop?
Exactly.
But I was like, YouTube. I ran up here to my office and I'm like, click, 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 and figured it out in 15 minutes. And next thing you know is like money saved. Yeah.
How to change your carburetor.
Yeah.
Truly.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, 100%.
So Haley, how was the transition from digital to film? There's aspects of my career where I can't make that transition, which is fine, but I always say I'm like super jealous of people who are like, nope, I just shoot film now and that's it.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the same boat as you still. Like, I'm repping that I do both, but like the goal is to just be film. But I mean, right now I think having both helps because there's so many pros and cons, obviously. But I personally, with film, I noticed all of my bad habits from digital seeping through, like overshooting. So like, I would send in all these roles. Yeah. And be like, girl, you just spent so much freaking money. Like, you did not need.
Dial it back.
Yeah. Take it way back. Like, you were paying money for these shots. So kind of like learning to slow down. Cause again, like when you're shooting events, like you don't have time to think. You were like rapid fire taking photos. But when you're at a portrait session, you don't need to do that. And so kind of like reteaching myself. And also digital is such an intuitive thing for me. So now kind of having to like stop and think about things and experimenting with all the different film stocks and all that has been like a really, it's just been a whole learning experience. I mean, yeah, it's been super interesting, but I love it. Every time I get film back lately, I like, I'm tearing up and just like, this is so worth it to me. Like, I never felt this way importing RAWs into Lightroom.
Isn't that so true? That's just like the perfect way to say it. Like, I never felt that way importing RAWs into Lightroom either.
Like 1,000 photos versus what, like 36?
36 is all I need for my fix, you know?
Exactly.
That's so crazy. I've been using, I have a Sony, like a mirrorless Sony camera. It's my only digital camera left. And when quarantine first happened, I was like, I'm going to try to force myself to take some pictures with this thing and try to get excited about it because, again, film is not cheap and I'm not working right now. So I don't have the funds to just buy bricks of Kodak film at the moment.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just going to try this out. And old habits, they just crept right back up right away. Yep. You know, taking three shots of the same flower that look identical. You know, like, it's just like, it's so crazy how, you know, looking at your screen is so addicting. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to have the instant gratification of digital. Like, I do enjoy that, but it, man, does it take away from the organic flow of, like, you don't take, I don't personally, I don't take a roll of film out and blow it. Like, like if it was a digital camera, I would, like you said, I would shoot 1,000 shots and just be like, wow, it takes me like 2 or 3 days to finish a roll of film if I'm just cruising around and taking photos for no purpose, you know? And it's just weird how that is. I wish I had some sort of scientific charts and graphs to explain to me why it's like that.
Yeah. Well, because with digital too, it's like, okay, let me see if these settings work. Okay, let me see if this works. Okay. And it's just like this whole thing. But like when you're shooting film, it's like, all right, I'm going to assume that this is working.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to.
It's working.
So,
even when it's not working, it's working.
Truly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I've gotten stuff like, oops, I didn't mean for this to be this underexposed, but it's cool.
Or like, let me just open the back of my camera real quick and get some light leaks. Like, can't really do that with digital, so.
I'm sure there's a filter for that somewhere.
Oh, for sure. For sure. A Lightroom preset. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite film stocks that you've been experimenting with?
I like all the expensive ones. So Cinestill.
Same.
I've been recently loving the Lomo 400. That's the only Lomo one I've tried so far. But I just got like a few, some scans back, and I'm in love. And I immediately ordered more. I'd say those two. I just tried the Cinestill 50D, but I haven't gotten it back yet. So I'm curious to see how those are going to look, because I shot it like on a really sunny day at a beach. And I don't really like beach coloring and tones. I usually avoid shooting at the beach. So it's going to be it'll be interesting, but I'm looking forward to it. And again, it's just so much more rewarding to send film in and not know what you're going to get. And then you get it back and I'm like, I don't need to edit this. I don't need to edit this. I don't need to do anything. But yeah, you guys like Portra, right? I feel like I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah. Chris is a Portra fiend.
Yeah. It's funny because I like them all, but I have a fridge full of like all these other types of film. And I like was like, oh, I'm going to go shooting. And I went for the Portra and I was like, I have a problem. It's just what I go for. I don't know. It's just, I'm used to it. I love it, you know?
Yeah. It's so beautiful though. I mean, it's valid.
Yeah.
I think it's important though too to kind of like fall in love with one stock or two stocks that that you can kind of just close your eyes and you know what you're going to get when you're doing it. Because that's why I really never change what I shoot. I'm the black and white guy, as you can tell. I'm obsessed. So it's
what are your favorite film stocks?
I love I'm a big fan of T-Max 400 and I've been shooting Ilford's HP5 again, which is because there was like a deal going on Amazon or something like that. I found a brick for kind of the old prices, like a couple years ago. Awesome. Prices, and I was like, I couldn't say no to that. And recently acquired a Leica, so I was like, what's better than HP5 and a Leica? Ooh. And pushed to 1600.
Living the dream.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm on cloud nine. I mean, it's fun.
That's awesome.
I wanted to ask you, do you think you'll like start to slim down now that you've finally got a Leica?
Oh yeah, I mean I can't afford anything else right now or want anything else. Like I was looking at 35mm. I mean, you always look. It's kind of like a, you know, you're always looking for gear, especially when you're like a gearhead like me. Like I love cameras and technology and just fun stuff. And you know, I'm still looking, but when it gets to the hit, like hitting the buy it now or the bid button, like I'm just kind of chill right now. I'm like, I wouldn't even use it. I would feel like I would, because like I just want to stay like at least with this camera for a year and not kind of veer off track. I mean, when you spend that kind of money.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good feeling though, to like have it and be like, all right, I'm satisfied. Like I don't need anything else right now. But
well, and I came from I was shooting a Voigtlander Bessa, which is basically, it's like its little brother, you know? And even the difference between those two, like I remember having like a Canonette and stepping up to the Bessa and being like, wow, this is like a Rolls Royce. Yeah. And then going to the Leica, it's like, wow, this is like a NASA spaceship.
Yeah.
Like, that's how crazy awesome it feels.
They feel so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely been camera shot, like window shopping a lot because I want to like pull the trigger on something and treat myself to like something that I've had my eye on, but it's so hard because a part of me is like medium format and then the other part's like, no, you got to get like the Nikon FM3, and then also like, but I want a contacts, and I'm like, okay, you can't buy anything, you're not allowed until you like have it in mind. But yeah, I feel like I think it's gonna end up being the Mamiya 7 just because would do the RZ, but like I just like, I'm on the go. I'm traveling. Right. I want to be able to like have something compact. And also it's so sexy. Like that camera build.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Dude, the RZ is like a full commitment too. Like
truly.
You need to go to the gym and like, at least like four times a week to carry that thing around on a regular basis.
I feel like I would look ridiculous. People would be like, what? Just be like, here I go.
It's just me in my box.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I want to definitely get something medium format soon because I feel like I'm just itching to shoot it. And the few times that I have, I'm just like, oh my God. Okay. Like,
yeah, that negative size is just like, woo.
Yeah. And 10 photos? Like, you really got to slow down. There's no overshooting allowed there.
Yeah, that's kind of the plus of shooting, because sometimes it's hard to get through 36 frames. Not going to lie. So having like 10 or 12 or 16 is like, okay, I can do this. This is easy.
Yeah. Exactly. 100%.
And then it's still not easy.
It's still not easy. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, at that point, I think you're almost being like too picky. Yeah. So then it's just like, all right, forget it.
I only have 16. Gonna make them good.
Same role for like 3 months.
Yeah.
But what are you shooting now? I noticed some photos with you and like, is that a Rebel that you rock?
Yeah. So I had been wanting to get a film SLR because I wanted to use my digital lenses with it.
Yes.
Smart.
And although I feel like it's this weird like limbo because I feel like I'm shooting film. But it's not like it's just a Canon Rebel 2000. So
yeah, I have one.
You do?
Yeah, I haven't shot it. I got it at like a Goodwill or a thrift store for like $12. It was the camera and the lens.
Okay, you paid way less than I did, so that's great. Yeah.
I was going to say, easy there, Chris. You're going to break her heart.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
But I mean, I have like my Sigma 1.4 lens, and when I put that thing on there and then I'm like shooting at night, I'm just like, okay, well, this is great. And I've been really loving having that because, again, I feel like I'm someone who I don't want to get like, if I see something and I want to capture it, I don't want to get too bogged down with like the settings. And I feel like with that Canon, it is an intuitive thing because I already shot Canon previously.
Right.
So it's just been like this really like intuitive experience because I just like see it, I shoot it, boom. And I also got like a new flash with gels. And so I've just been like totally playing around with light and color. And it's super freaking fun, honestly. So that is what I've been using recently. But last year I was using a Minolta X700 actually.
Oh. Yeah.
It was a gift to me, and I just like that's what I used to shoot a lot of some of the events that I was shooting digitally. I would shoot on the side with my film camera, so I used that. And then I'd also been using a Canon AE-1 for a sec, but yeah,
great cameras,
classic.
when was the like your intro? So you started on digital. When did you have that like I'm going to start shooting film?
So I kind of had been playing around with the film camera. So for the last like 2 years, like I'd bring it to things here and there. Mm-hmm. And then basically going into the festival season last year, so this is like last April, I was like I was already dreading it. And that is not a feeling that you should be having going into I was about to do 6 festivals in a row, like festival for 5 days, come home for 2 days, edit an entire album, go to the festival, come home, edit. Like it was insane. And I was like, I physically don't know how I'm going to do this.
Wow.
I don't feel good about it. And I need something with me that's going to at least kind of excite me, which also, again, I'm going to a festival. I shouldn't be in that mindset. So that kind of just goes to show how I was feeling about my work. So I brought the film camera and I brought it to a festival. And it's funny because then they're posting my album, they're sharing everything. And I didn't share a single image that I had been paid to shoot. I only shared my film captures.
Yeah.
So that's how I did my entire festival season. And then I ended on a great note. This one festival brought me on to shoot like their sponsored content and like all of their kind of like merchandise and like work with like the artists one-on-one and just shoot like, we are sponsored by this brand. Like we need images of this around the festival. And I was like, I don't care to shoot digitally. I know I could be submitting photos for you guys to like share and do whatever, but I'm just going to shoot film on the side for myself and just do what I'm paid to do and then finish that. And so I ran around the festival. I would like get my stuff done in the morning and then leave my digital camera like in the media room. And then I'd run around with my film camera. And I think it was like day 4 of like 6. And I'm just like in the room talking to someone. And I was like, yeah, I've been shooting film. And they're like, but you're not shooting digital also? Like, you can get published. Like, they can be posting your photos and all this. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I'm just shooting for myself. I've already done that. It doesn't mean anything. And my lead, my photo lead overheard me and was like, if we like your film album, girl, we'll post it. And I was like,
sweet.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
So then I like banged out like 3 rolls that day. I shot 12 total and I took them in that Monday after the festival. And when I got them back, I was like sobbing and in tears. And it was like, I think it was like this kind of little like cosmic nudge of like, you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Like this is what you should be doing. And so they posted the album and it was the first album that they've ever posted film. So
that's great.
Wow. That was my like exit.
where can everybody, is that stuff on your website still or?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That would be on my website under the Lightning in a Bottle tab. And it has the whole film album on there.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did you even get into this concert thing?
Yeah, I was
going
to ask that too.
It's like, honestly, I hate to say it, but it's just kind of like who you know and who you connect with. Mm. And that's both a blessing and a curse in that world, I feel like, because there are so many just really talented individuals who just don't know the right people. And it sucks because it's like you are so gifted. And I feel like you've been doing this for so long, but you just don't know or you're not going to the right things or having the right conversations. And I think that I kind of was already very immersed in this world. Like I was already very actively going to things and just kind of had my community. And so when I kind of picked up a camera and started doing things, like, people saw that. And I'm forever really grateful that it kind of panned out the way that it did. One artist in particular, like, came up to me and was like, "I want you to be shooting my events." And I was like, "Ooh. I don't shoot nightclubs. Like, I don't
yeah,
do that.
Oh, no.
Like,
no.
I don't do that." But fast forward to, like, a few weeks later, me, like, sitting in the Uber yeah. looking on YouTube how to use external flash in the club. Yeah. And I'm, like, doing it. And I get there and I ended up working with him for, like, a few years. But yeah, it's just kind of like you meet one person and that leads to another thing and that leads to another thing. But that's also my problem with all of it, because it's just kind of like this, like, you get sucked into this, not popularity contest, but you know what I mean? It's like yeah. this, like, yeah. exposure, like, needing the validation. And I don't know, it kind of eats people alive sometimes, and it's trippy to witness.
That is, that's deep. Yeah.
Thankfully, I don't do any of that stuff, so I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You're, like, chilling.
I mean, not that I haven't, like, taken my camera to, you know, concerts or festivals and stuff when I've gone. And I always love that, because it has nothing to do. I'm not doing it for anyone other than myself.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a band that I love, you know, of course I'm going to shove my camera in their face. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just, paid work scares the shit out of me. And I, every time we have somebody on that, like, professionally does photography, I'm like, ooh, ouch. Oh, that would kill me. I would hate to do it. But yeah.
Yeah.
It also sounds fun, though, too. Like, doing something in the vein of what you love doing is always, like, a good thing. But
yep.
I would hate just hearing you say, like, how you're burned out and you needed this film thing to kind of, like, refresh your to get away from that. And it's just like, man, well, maybe I don't ever want to do that.
Yeah.
I'll stay away.
Well, and it's just like, it's again one of those things where, like, I'm so freaking grateful for it. I feel like opportunities kind of, like, I worked for them, but they fell in my lap. And it's like, I never really stopped to think, is this what I, like, really, really saw for myself? Like, is this really what I want to be doing? And I mean, being in that culture teaches you so much. Like, I know how to be efficient. I know how to, like, meet freaking crazy deadlines and all these things. But to now pivot and use that towards my business and, like, do, like, elopements and weddings and couples and things like that, like, I feel like I've got, like, this different kind of skill set, but able to move forward and use that. Like, I'm just, like, so much gratitude for everything that I've kind of been able to do up to this point. Yeah.
what are you focusing your business on now that you've, like, got out of that scene?
I'm really just emphasizing, like, couples, portraits, and then I also want to be working more one-on-one with artists. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, like, music artists. It can be anyone, but I am kind of came up with, like, this package, and it's pitched on my website too, of just, like, do you want photos of your band practice, or, like, you working in the studio, and just kind of, like, these, like, BTS, like, you working on your painting, you doing, writing a book or whatever, but just, like, so you can have something so that whenever it is that you're working on is, like, released and put out into the world, you've got something also that just kind of shows what you went through to get up to that point. And I like working with artists, like, music artists, and getting them, like, press shots, headshots, kind of, you know, because it's, like, a tie in the music world that's not, like, the music world. It's, like, you're still kind of, like, off on the sidelines. And so, again, just kind of, like, using that. And I love shooting couples. That's a new thing for me.
Yay.
I shot my first couple, like, I did an official couple shoot, I want to say in, like, September. And I was, like, totally crying. I was, like, this is the sweetest, most healing and just beautiful thing to witness. And it's amazing because two people are just in their own worlds, and I'm just, like, running around them, like, creating my own kind of story out of it, or their story, or trying to capture a small part of their story. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing to witness, and I love capturing it.
It's great.
So what do you see for the future of the couple stuff? Like, are you trying to, is it kind of just like a portrait business kind of thing, or is this, like, more personally where you would like to take it to hanging it on walls and making books out of it or anything like that?
I want to do more weddings. I do not want to be a wedding photographer. But I did shoot my first wedding. I shot my first wedding in December. I had second shot two other weddings beforehand, but I had so much fun. It was, like, the best experience. But I could see immediately that if I did it regularly, it would put me right back where I started.
So say, be careful.
And also, there's a lot of, like, kind of dynamics and logistics that I feel like I just would need to be picky with who I'm shooting the wedding.
Right.
Like, very, like, I'm not just going to do it for the money ever. It just needs to be someone that I'm, like, that I get along with and we mesh well. But yeah, right now I'm just kind of, like, seeing where this takes me. I'm going to launch a print shop in the next week. So that's nice. I'm excited. But yeah, I just like working one-on-one with people and telling their story. And another thing I'm launching soon is kind of like, it's going to be called In My Skin Sessions, and it's kind of like self-love sessions.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So it's mainly just kind of women empowerment, like making people feel good in their skin. Just like, let me capture you. It's going to be all film, like in your raw and real beauty.
Cool.
And if the clients are comfortable, eventually I might want to make like a photo book out of that or something, or do some sort of exhibit. But I want that to be more like an abstract kind of thing, less portrait-y and more like slowed down and just kind of like, let me capture you. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. Speaking of capturing, you've been doing a lot of FaceTime sessions.
Yes.
how are those been going?
They're good.
And what's that like?
It's trippy. I mean, there's like a lot of people doing them now.
Yeah, I've loved the stuff you did
really caught on.
With the water and the I was like, what? How?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it's funny because I've just been kind of doing them for fun and like getting creative. I know friends that are like making it like they're charging and running a whole thing for it. But
oh, wow.
Like literally booking shoots and doing like 45-minute sessions. And I was like,
that's wild.
Yeah.
Right. All power to you. I think that's awesome. But for me, I'm just like, I just want to get creative with it and see what happens. Yeah. But the one that you're referring to. So basically, I had seen some things online and I was like, how can I take this and like completely run with it and like create something that's entirely my own? And so I wish I could like show you the setup I had in my room, but it was like these white sheets, white sheet backdrop, and then on the ground. And then I set up my lights with like different colored gels. And then I filled up a vase of water and I put the phone behind the vase.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's so smart.
I think people think too hard into it.
Yeah, literally, because I was like, okay, so trying to figure out the math.
No, I'm telling all my secrets. But I think people thought that I took the image because I shot it on film. I think people thought that I took it through. I don't know. Mm-hmm, but basically, it's just literally putting the phone behind the vase of water. So it like I don't know how to describe that. Like it
distort,
amplifies the image. Yeah. And then just shoot film. And I had my friend on the other side who lives in New York and is a dancer. So she was just like flowing it out and kind of like moving. And I'm just like rapid fire shooting film. But yeah, I was not expecting kind of the feedback I got on that.
Yeah, they're so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so like, I just need to start thinking outside the box as far as creativity goes. Cause I just will do the same thing cause I'm used to it, you know, but I never, I'm like, what can I, out of the box, can I do that's like, especially in these times, you know, like I just think that's brilliant.
You should do one. They're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like if you don't have a vase, like another idea that I wanted to try. I mean, I'm just telling it, but like just basically because yes, you can shoot because you know when you do the FaceTime shoots, you're doing it on the screen. Like, you know, when you FaceTime, there's like that little circle button on the screen. You take the photo through that
because
when it takes the photo, it's taking it through the other person's camera. So even if like your connection is just absolute shit, which it always is for me, it'll be like one pixel and then I'm taking the photo and it saves in your camera roll and it's like perfect quality. So there's that. And then also just setting the phone up in different ways and like kind of taking photos and kind of just seeing, I don't know, you can get super creative with it, but it's been cool seeing what people are doing over FaceTime.
Yeah.
See, that makes so much more sense. We were talking about this a couple episodes ago, and we were just like, how did they do it?
I was like not letting myself just like figure it out because I was like, it's just magic. It's magic. It's magical.
It's trippy.
That's so genius, though, that your phone operates their camera. Like, that's so smart on technology's part. Like, that makes me think. Mm-hmm. Now I need to do them, too.
Right? Like, and it takes it as a live photo, so then you're also gaining, like, a quick little, like, clip and you're not in the image that it's saving, you know? So it's...
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, you should try it. I'd be curious to see what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I will.
Maybe I will too. I'm like, who can I get? Maybe I'll look at my cousin from back home. She's like 20. You know? Like,
there
do some model shit stuff for me.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Now I want to do it.
Yeah. I feel like I have so many more
ideas.
Yeah. I mean, just like, it's like I've been in a rut recently because we were just talking about this before I got on, Timothy and I. Like, he got the new Leica. It's like something like that. Where he's been like a roll a day. And I was like, we've only been going to the dog park.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and I'm a people person. I want to shoot like portraits and stuff like that. And, you know, I've said it before on the show, I have like no interest of taking anybody's photo with a mask, you know? So it's like,
yeah, no, I hear you.
I'm waiting for this to be over.
I feel you. So you like shooting portraits, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you do movie set things, right? Or you do? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of up in the air right now. Obviously everything is, but
yeah. Well, do you ever like to do self-portraits? Is that something you're into?
I haven't done a self-portrait. Like that was an assignment at photography school. It was like do a self-portrait. I think it was like one of the last times I've ever done one.
Yeah.
No, but you've really like inspired me to, like I said, I'm going to start thinking of different things I can do just in general.
Yeah.
Now, even in this quarantine time, I feel like it's maybe if you're not inspired to shoot, maybe you should be going through old negatives or old photos and trying to see if you can find like a narrative with your work. Maybe figure out a little 20-page zine or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Get your creative flow going on something like that. Like even stupid little things like organizing your film shelf is like, or your camera shelf.
I did that. Yeah.
I went through a bunch of old, when I first got my Canon Pro Pixma Pro printer, when I was like printing every picture that I could print because I was like so amazed that I could make like awesome quality prints at home. And then I was going back through all those and just looking at my old prints and being like, man, I need to just like send these to people. Like they shouldn't be sitting in a binder just like doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I hear you.
I've been going through a roll of film a day just because I'm stoked on the camera.
Yeah.
And
I need a new toy, I think.
Like now being also diabetic, I need to go for walks every day. So like I have to kind of just take advantage of that. And which you get stuck in doing the same thing of like, going around my neighborhood. I've been shooting this neighborhood for like 7 or 8 years now, and it's the same couple pictures each time, but trying to go and look at it a different way or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I don't know, Chris. I feel like you'll get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when I'm in those ruts too, one thing is like I've really learned recently is like if you have an idea, you need to act on it because there's power in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've done is I've made all my like creating tools super accessible. So like I set up my lights at the beginning of this whole thing and they haven't been broken down. They're just sitting in the corner of my room and I have like a backdrop on deck and I don't even put my cameras in their bags anymore. They're just like out on a shelf. And so if I'm like doing anything, like the other night I was just in bed, like about to go to sleep and I literally am like, oh my God. And then I'm like, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And I'm like, nope. Yeah, it came to mind. Yeah. You got to do it right now. You have to do it. And so I jumped up. I shot like 15 film photos and then it takes like 30 minutes and then I just go back to bed. And it's like, I'll see those in a few weeks. But I think just kind of doing things like that has really helped me just like stay in the zone and stay creating. Cause
that's very true.
If you push anything off, it's kind of just telling, I feel like yourself, like, no, it's not worthy. Like, I don't need to do that right now. But it's like when you act on it, you're like, frick yeah, I just did that. Or like,
I mean, that's very true. Yeah. Yeah. I've had ideas. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it another time. I'll just stay, whatever.
Yeah.
Got me thinking, Haley. I'm like, damn.
I started shooting my plants because we've been collecting so many plants during this quarantine thing.
Yeah.
And anytime, and like I have one that I've been wanting to, because I printed, framed and matted one and hung it in our living room. And it was like, it kind of looks dumb up there with just one. Like, I need another one. So we get another one. And then like, it's like, now I need one more. And I've been sleeping on this last plant. And I'm like, it's going to end up dying before I take a picture of it.
What kind of plant is it?
It's just like a weird, I think it's an elephant ear is what it's called.
Okay.
It's like it looks like a snake plant. You know, those like snake plant deals that are real popular right now, but it's like wider. And I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, cool.
I wish I could
bring it in here.
There's just so many plants right now. We're going through a plant phase in the apartment. And but yeah, just like you said, I have my tripods and stuff set up behind me and my lights are just on the other side. And anytime like inspiration hits, I'm just like zoop right up, ready to go. Start taking pictures. Polaroid week helped a lot too. It got me really motivated.
Instant helps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hit that fix, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just wish I wish it was like Polaroid year, you know, like, because when when Polaroid spring and Polaroid fall hit, I'm just like all week just like setting stuff up, shooting Polaroids, and then it kind of fades off. And I was like, oh, I'm so bummed that Polaroid week 2020 or whatever is coming to an end. And so I think it was Chris Visser, friend of the show, was just like, you know, it doesn't mean you can't shoot Polaroids after that. And I was like, oh my god, you're right. Like, I'm just gonna keep going. Like, I don't know why I thought I had to stop after this.
I recently acquired a Polaroid, which is like a weird statement because I'd had an Instax, but I'd been wanting like the new Polaroid specifically because I wanted to be able to do like the whole double exposure thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great.
And so having the like app where you can completely go in manual mode and kind of control it like unlocks a whole new level of things. Yes. But I'm also like, cool, another habit that is expensive because like quarantine has not been cheap. But I mean, I'm like, if I'm able to just be creative and use the money that I have just to my creative tools, that feels good to me. And it's helping me create things that are generally moving me forward. So yeah, the Polaroid's been another new investment that I've been super stoked on.
So you mentioned your print shop. Do you have any plans for like a zine at all?
In life, in the future, I would love to do one. I think I would need to kind of, like, I'd probably want to do a photo kind of book at some point, but then also do a zine where it's like interactive and has like interviews and kind of like...
Oh, cool.
Things like that. I'm definitely going to set up a Patreon sooner than later. I'm just trying to figure out, again, how I want to use that. But yeah, just kind of trying to push my work out and then also be able to, I mean, share it and have it accessible, but then also make like a slight income from things. And it feels good to see your photos freaking in real life.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yes. It's my favorite.
And when people, like, I've had a few people hit me up asking if they can like have a photo printed, and I'll send them the photo. And just when they send me a photo of it like in their home, that's just like, okay, like
Next level.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah, that's incredible. And so
I'm excited for the print shop.
Thanks. Me too. I'm excited. It'll be up within the next week or so, I'm assuming.
Great.
So,
fun. I need to do that too. I need to set up a little print shop. Like I said, I still have all these prints sitting around that I would love to get into someone's hands.
Like, you definitely have photos.
I'm not developing a roll a day though. Like, I have, I was just talking before we started, I built this little like cubby system to keep all the rolls of film off my desk because I would have like 30 rolls of film just sitting and taking up like half my desk.
Yeah.
So I built these little cubbies in my closet where I have them all, you know, color film, pushed black and white, regular box, you know, and so, and then I dropped a roll in there last night and I was like, oh wow, I really got some catching up to do. Like, it is piling up. And I refuse to send anything out. Like, I'm very stubborn when it comes to it. I have to develop my own film. And it's fun. It's probably my second favorite part of the whole process is
what's
like
your first
shooting the photo, shooting like coming up with an idea or even just like seeing something. Like, when you see something, even if you miss it or you don't take the shot, the thrill of like, wow, that's awesome. I saw this guy watering this little old man today. We were driving past it and he was just watering his bush or something like that outside. And it was the coolest scene I've ever seen. And I was like, that was like picturesque or so. I forget what I said when we drove, some stupid saying that I said when we drove past it. But I was like, that would have been it. That would have been such a great photo, you know, but... Mm-hmm. I just love the excitement of that whole thing.
Well, and that's the thing with film too, is I definitely look at the world so differently and I look at light differently now. Yes. And it's like, okay, you've been shooting for like 4 years. Like, this shouldn't be like a new thing, but it is. And I feel like now I'm constantly just like kind of taking it in and like I'll look and be like, okay, like this would be a gorgeous photo, even if I don't have my camera. And yeah, I'm just grateful again that film kind of teaches you that and has you looking at things in a different light. Literally.
The whole light thing struck me recently too, because everybody's doing these like amazing portraits with like strips of light going across their face. And I'm like, why haven't I ever thought of that? Like, how did I miss that whole, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's great to always be learning.
Or always be getting inspired by people, you know? Yeah. It's like my favorite thing when I'm scrolling, like, oh, like with your work, I was like, this is inspiring to like be creative. Like,
Thank you.
Yeah.
Instagram can be such a powerful tool. It can also be like a very negative one in terms of the comparing. And I think every artist falls down the comparison kind of what hole. But
Yeah.
Yeah, I think deleting it for chunks of time is...
Have you?
I deleted it last year from like...
Wow.
August to February of this year.
Wow.
So this was right along the time when I was like, I don't want anything to do with photography. Like, I am so burnt out. I don't want to touch a camera. I don't want to book anything. And I like kind of shut down and I deleted... I deleted the app. My Instagram was still up.
Right.
But basically not having it for those like 6 or 7 months, I like was like, oh my goodness, like I am not enjoying myself with what I'm doing anymore. When I disconnect from who I am on the internet versus in real life, it's like a different person. And so that's when the wheels started turning and I was like, I'm going to launch a different business. I'm going to completely cut off all my ties with my former clients and just do something new. And so when I came back on, I mean, I definitely, obviously, like I still notice myself going through like comparing and kind of the negative thought patterns that it brings. But I think now just being like, you know what, we're going to delete it for 2 days because like you're not feeling good about things. And
that's smart.
Yeah. Because when you don't have access to it, you don't realize how much you're like subconsciously kind of judging things and comparing. And when you don't see what other people are doing, like you wake up and you have a great freaking day. Like you're not aware of what's happening in the world. But yeah, honestly, I wish that I still didn't have it, but I'm also so grateful for it. So it's
it's like a double-edged sword for sure.
I was just gonna say that.
And like I find myself getting jealous of people's like careers, you know, like like this person's like where I want to be and I'm not there, and like where did I go wrong, and like it's icky.
No, I hear you. And you're in LA too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like in LA, it's just like inevitable because, yeah, I'm also there. Or I was there. Now I'm a little bit outside of it. But I feel like as long as you're just like listening to what feels good and like doing your thing and like honoring like your creative kind of like path, like comparison is just like the devil. And it's like everyone does it. And I think that's been the one thing I've been trying to attack and just be like you are doing your own thing. Like you can't compare. What is that quote? It's like, you can't compare your beginning to other people's middle or end.
That's, and that's so, a good one.
Yeah, I feel like I want that like written on my hand so I can constantly just like see it.
Like on your phone. So before you go to the...
But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but power to you for being able to like quit cold turkey. It's hard for, especially in these times, because it's like part of the reason why I couldn't sleep. I was telling Timothy, I didn't get any sleep last night because I was just like going through Twitter and then Instagram, then Facebook, then Twitter, then and I was just like, now I know, I just can't, I have to, I I'm never going to get to sleep because now it's 3 a.m. What did I do to myself?
I know. It's crazy because I'll be like at my computer editing and I'm like falling asleep and I'm so fatigued. And then I pick up my phone and suddenly it's like 2 hours later. And I'm like, how does this have the power of like keeping me awake and stimulated?
My fiance said it's the blue light, even though we could adjust it on the phone. He bought me blue light glasses. And it was funny. They came in today and he's like, you couldn't sleep last night. This is going to help. And I was like, okay, thanks.
See, I want to get some, but don't they distort the coloring kind of? So like if you're editing, I feel like you can't be wearing
Oh, yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
But that's good you got them. Hey.
Yeah, we're going to try them out. Let you know.
Perfect.
We'll be right back with some listener questions for Haley right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
All right, everybody, this is the part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. We're actually going to hit Haley with two questions because we got some good ones. So our first question comes from Swahili Keeley Photography. And they ask, when did you start to feel others noticing your growth and taking note? Key to visibility.
I mean, it sounds cliche, but like be yourself, honestly. Like, I feel like whenever I'm like second guessing sharing something or something I'm excited about, or my gut is kind of like, don't do it, like whatever. Yeah. And every time I honor it and I push forward and I do share it, and then I receive like feedback or kind of people asking or sharing how it made them feel, and kind of just like, I want to be open and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's so important, and just kind of like shining light on like areas of like, it's okay if you feel this way. Like, I want to talk to you about this, and kind of just being yourself and just sharing your freaking work. Because in this day and age, everyone's doing the same thing. And what matters most is just like having your own unique voice, because sure, you can like blend in and that might boost you and get you kind of like gigs and a following and a community, but I just feel so much better and so much more like in my kind of, I don't know how to say it, just be yourself and honoring that and sharing what matters to you and sharing your heart and kind of just your voice and your authentic expression. And everyone's got like their own unique kind of traits to them. Yeah, I think that when I started honoring that more and more, that's when I kind of started receiving more and more feedback and whatnot and visibility. Yeah.
It's because there is a game you can play with social media as well. Like where, you know, you run the hashtags, you do the follows, and then you unfollow. And then
I don't do any of that. Nope.
No, I know. It's too much work. Like if you just put yourself out there, like you said, and just be 100, like it really does work. I mean, I could tell a difference when I just stopped trying to build an audience. You know, like if you just kind of let it fly, it does its thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing too, is I think a lot of people, humans are like multifaceted human beings. So like people will be like, I am a, like they'll have their personal account and then like their photography account, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've been going back and forth, like, should I do that? But it's like, no, because I think it's so cool that people have all these different sides to them and it's important to share that. And so like when I have a friend who's like a yoga instructor, but she also shares her cooking and then she's also sharing her kids and things like that. Like people connect with you and they see that. And so that's why I'm like, I mean, I'm not an open book, but I do share a lot of parts of my life because then people will be like, hey, I saw that you're interested in this. Would you ever be interested in doing a shoot on that? And I'm like, I never would have thought of that, but let's freaking do it. So, awesome.
Yeah, I had the two Instagrams for a while for like my personal and then my work.
Yeah.
And it's just like too much. I'd rather just share my work and personal in the same place.
Yeah. You know? So people can see who's making the work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Question number two. Another deep one. This comes from a friend of the show, Chris Visser, and he asks, your feed is full of images with lots of bubbly energy and fun. Is this a conscious thing when shooting, or is it an unconscious extension of your personality?
Can it be both? Like, I think it's both. Ooh. Like, I think when I gravitate towards a scene, I try and capture it as best I can. And I have my little tools that I use, like the prism or like lights, or I mean, have you guys ever put Vaseline on a filter? Have you ever tried that?
No, but I just recently heard about that. Yeah. That's smart. Yes.
Yeah. If you get like just a clear filter, or sometimes, I mean, if you want to go like in and use like a star filter and then you just kind of put Vaseline around it.
Yeah.
Kind of just like, I just kind of try and capture things as I see them. And I, again, that's why I like film, because I think it's just like this intuitive experience of just like this is what it feels in the moment. I can't see what I'm capturing, but I know that whatever I get back is going to be like the most authentic thing that I could have captured in that time. So I think I just try and capture things how I see them and how I see the world. So
awesome.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right, should we hit her with the tough questions?
Yeah, give it to her.
Oh, no.
All right, so this is, if you could only have one camera for the rest of your life, you're on a desert island, what would it be and why?
This is such a hard one. Because I'm lusting after one camera, but I don't think that that's the one that I would want to only have. I feel like it'd probably just be what I'm currently using, or it would be the one that I got started on, the Minolta X700, because I feel like that was the one that just like got the wheels turning.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It came with me just, I mean, all over. I was traveling with it. It kind of was like my buddy. And the only reason I don't use it is because it's broken so many times. I don't know if that's like a Minolta thing, but it literally has gone down on me so many times. And I'm like, I can't keep paying to fix this. Like, I might as well just buy a new one. But that feels like wrong. So, probably my baby that I started with. The Minolta. No.
On this island, it just works. So
it just works. It magically works.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So second part of the question, what is it that you're lusting after? What's your white whale camera?
The Mamiya 7.
Yeah,
that one for sure.
Have you shot it?
I haven't. So I don't want to let myself, because I know the second I do, I'm gonna like log onto eBay and buy it. So
man, that's how it happens.
Yep.
That's how it happens.
Perfect.
Well, Haley, this has been really awesome. Thank you for letting us pick your brain. And like I said, your stuff has been super, keeping me inspired lately. So thank you for that.
For sure.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I mean, I've listened to this show for a minute and it definitely helped bring me out of that massive creative rut that I was in. Like, I wasn't on social media and I came across you guys. And I think because I followed Shannon and she shared the podcast, and I immediately was like, that like head exploding emoji. Like, just like, oh my God, like this is what I needed. And so thank you guys for sharing your voice and your passion, because it's absolutely so appreciated. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So where can everybody check out your awesome work?
So my Instagram. Yeah. So my Instagram is, it's Hale, but the three is an E. So it's H-A-L-3 underscore. And then my website is Haley Bush, but again, the three is an E. So H-A-L-3-Y-B-U-S-E-H. Yeah.
Did you happen to go to it spelled properly? Because I did that by mistake.
Oh, really? No, it doesn't exist.
It's like a weird
What
thing.
Is it?
I'm not going to Now I'm intrigued.
Okay, I'll check it out later. It's like a weird fetish website. No, I don't know. Yeah, damn. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Timothy, what about you?
Guys, head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Easiest way to find it, go to the search bar, just type in Timothy.makeups. I'm actually working on a Leica video right now.
So
that should be up probably by the time this is out. It'll be up. But yeah, that's where I'm at. Chris, where are you?
Yeah, I'm Crispy Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. We have a Facebook page. You can like and join the group and share stuff and talk to each other and all that. Whew. Thank you.
You did it.
Thank you again, Haley. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
So awesome to chat with you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
Of course. Definitely. All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
First off, we want to thank Haley for coming on the show and giving us your story and, you know, just nerding out about film photography. Always a good time. Thank you, Haley. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. You can get the show 2 days early for even $1. We also have a bunch of other stuff over there. Go and check it out. We're doing Patreon exclusives. We're doing Patreon only after shows. Just a bunch of stuff. We're trying to beef it up for you guys. And for the patrons who already support the show, thank you so much, guys. We do not know what we would do without you. All right, guys, until next week, we will see you soon. Later.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.